Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, Marion, and welcome to Real Stories.
Hello, thank you for inviting me today.
Hello, and just to let you all know, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and today I'm talking to Marion Frank, who is a coach for gifted children and their parents. Now, I'm going to throw you straight into the deep end, and I'm going to ask you why you do what you do.
Yeah, it seems a very appropriate question, and I think I have to say first that I have quite an unusual background for the work that I'm doing right now at this point, since I was originally trained as an engineer from a French Grande École in France, in Paris, actually. And after two international experiences in Silicon Valley and working for 2 years in China, where I was completely immersed in the Chinese ecosystem and experience, I shifted career now 4 years ago as I settled in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. And I found out that the connection, I have a very special connection with children, which I didn't fully realize before 4 or 5 years ago. And I felt absolutely, let me find the right word for that, fascinated by how having the right or receiving the right tools when you're a child and being heard as a child can put you on the right track for your life. So I got interested in learning more about what would be the recipe for raising a balanced and healthy adult in today's, let's say, chaotic world. And I think we really need that nowadays. So I did a Montessori training as I resonated deeply with the approach of Maria Montessori, focusing on developing and raising a whole child. And after that, I found that the children I was attracting in my work were highly sensitive children and also gifted children. And we may talk about what's a gifted child later on, but for now, let me say that I rediscovered the meaning of gifted, and coming from a family of gifted children. And I found out that this was the profile of children I could be most useful to, and all the different skills that I had acquired in my life as an engineer, or also my life as I write poetry, so as a poet, as a musician as well, could be of support to these children and their families.
You know what, that's really interesting, but I want to go a little bit deeper, because this is called Real Stories, and I want to get to the heart of what your experience was mm-hmm. as a child. So it's interesting you said that you connected with all of these gifted children, and we'll come to that in a minute, because I get the feeling that you, when you say gifted, you may not mean it in the way that a lot of people perceive it as I'm picking up. But I would like you to just talk a little bit about your experience as a child. Did you feel like you were a gifted child growing up?
So thank you for this question. It's it's an interesting question, yeah. Yeah, as a child growing up, I didn't really feel like I had anything special. I could see somehow that I didn't fit the traditional model. And
in what way did you not feel that you fit in the traditional model? What sort of a child? Give us a description as to what sort of a child you were or you perceived yourself to be.
Yes. So as a child, I'd say I was I was extremely sensitive. And I'd say that it was not necessarily the talent. I see it now as a huge talent, as an asset. But it wasn't necessarily seen as an asset growing up, be it in the circle of my family or more largely at school. So I was, I think I learned to sort of hide this sensitivity, and hiding this sensitivity, it's a huge part of who I am. So as I try to repress one of this aspect and this sensitivity, it's a sensitivity that could express itself in many different domains. It was sensitivity to beauty, I'd say, especially sensitive to the arts, and could be moved greatly by. I started my passion for music started from a very young age. My grandma actually told me that when I was still a baby, she was amazed one day that she sang a tune and I was able to sing the same tune, and she couldn't believe it because I was a very small baby. So I think it's ingrained in my system, this sensitivity to the arts, to life, and to people as well. And you know, it's probably changing nowadays, but a few years ago, it's actually the focus at school was mostly on the hard skills. And so being sensitive and having this ability to empathize with other people, just to understand what they're going through, wasn't necessarily something that was valued at school. And far from it, I think it was even something probably to be maybe to be ashamed of. Yeah. The word may be strong, but since it wasn't supported and it was looked with strange eyes, the feeling it created in the child was shame, right? Because when you have experienced something that is not validated and that is not valued, then it becomes a source of, why am I feeling the way I do?
That's really interesting, Marion, because I do feel that a lot of children are naturally very sensitive. And with regards to the system, I don't know if it's similar in France, probably in terms of the way that you are institutionalized when you go to school and you have certain things that you have to do and certain rules and regulations that you have to follow, you become institutionalized, and sometimes that sensitivity does go. And with some people, they do struggle with it. I mean, there's various different labels are given now for children who were considered to be sensitive, and I really don't like those labels, you know. But it's interesting you said that was what you felt, and that's the word, use the word gifted. I want to come back to that word gifted as well, because as you know, I run a company called Lifted and Gifted, and it sounds, what I love about you is it sounds very similar to the way that you are using that word gifted. So explain to me and my audience, mm-hmm, a gifted child, or what your perception of a gifted child is, because most people at school, me and my background is teaching, you'd have a section for gifted and talented children, and they'd generally be the children who are academically the brightest. But you don't mean academically bright, do you?
That can be, but not only. So I think that's one of the myths that surrounds giftedness and is doing actually a lot of harm to these children and to reaching out for support for these children and for their parents. So you're right. So academic achievement is only one aspect, and there actually may not be anything brilliant to giftedness for the untrained eye. And people tend to think that when you're using the word gifted, you meaning like a genius such as Einstein or perhaps Marie Curie, for example. But we are actually referring to another, to a set of characteristics that that differentiates the child from the rest of the other children. So if we go more into details about what is meant by gifted child, so those are usually children who have, you know, sensitivity is essential, and it's connected to a great intensity. So intensity, you can see this intensity in their interest, for example. So this curiosity, and usually intensity is a hallmark of the gifted child. It's usually they can be intense in their thinking, intense in their reactions to people, intense in their enthusiasm. So it's usually you notice that in their appetite. It would be another word to say it. And naturally, their intellectual and reasoning skills are also incredible. And it connects with, this curiosity. I think it's something that's they're unusual.
Okay. I mean, what I'm picking up this with regards to what you're saying with regards to gifted children, would you mean to say the children that are very spiritual?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's what you were trying to say, and I just wanted to help you out there, but it's okay, you can talk openly in that kind of a way. So when you say a spiritually gifted child, you mean someone who's highly creative, because I've done a lot of work with special educational needs children within my lifetime in terms of education. Mm-hmm. I've come across a lot of children who are autistic, and I always say that some of these children have like this genius brain. Mm-hmm. And the reason I call it a genius brain is because in terms of the balance of the brain, there's a little slight imbalance with autism. But what's a beauty is when they find what their talent is, they can be incredibly talented to the point it's almost like being a genius. So you may see some children who are excelling in art, for example, and they'd be able to draw something and it'd be exactly what they see, but they'd be able to do it so quickly. Mm-hmm. Or if it is maths, they'd be able to solve problems of what you could solve if you were, like a five-year-old may be able to solve problems that a 10-year-old could solve. So there's all of these different layers. And I do believe that some of these kids are quite spiritually gifted, but they're now, as we have all those labels. So when you say that you are helping children who are gifted and their parents, do you mean the parents that you don't feel are as awake to those children and do not understand them? Is that what you mean? Mm.
Yeah, usually, of course, you're not going to work with a parent who's not willing to work. So when I work with the parents, it's usually parents who have this awareness that there is something going on, something deeper with their child, and they may not have the tools to support their child in their everyday life. So that's my work, actually, to be the, it's a teamwork. Huh? So I'm working both with the child and the parents. And so all together, we're just as a team, I facilitate their self-discovery process. And so really the idea is that to empower the parents so that they really develop their confidence in their abilities to support their child, because there's no accident if they're parenting this given child. They have what it takes. And probably they just need a little bit of support at this point in their life. And with my own experience as a gifted child, and from my own experience professionally, I'm here just to provide the necessary support and the mirroring of what's going on at this point with their child in their lives, and where I think and they may benefit from special help. Does that make sense?
No, I totally understand. And it'd be interesting to know, is there an example that you can give me as to maybe something that you have experienced where you realised that you were gifted and you worked with a parent and you helped? Could you give me an example of something like that, please?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I have an example that comes to my mind right now. I've worked with a gifted little boy, extremely sensitive, extremely inquisitive also, and was dealing with episodes of rage and anger, and he would throw huge tantrums, and it would be very difficult for his parents to understand where this anger was coming from. And so I was actually able to relate to them, to the feelings of this little boy, and see that actually he needed more space. He needed to be really given a voice within the circle of the family, just to be heard and not just considered for the for just a basic 5-year-old, because he wasn't a basic 5-year-old. If there can be anything like such as a basic 5-year-old, of course, but he was he had this kind of intensity. This word is really important. It has this awareness also. And so just helping the parents see what was the reality from the viewpoint of their child already was a huge breakthrough, because I found that a lot of the times it's difficult for parents with the pace of this hectic life just to really fully acknowledge how difficult it is to be a child sometimes, and just to realize how much of a pressure it can be when you're asked to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this. And when basically just when you would like to connect with your mom and dad and it's already time for bed and the parents still have work to do afterwards, or just may not have time just emotionally to connect with the child because they're exhausted themselves. So we work with parents on just self-care as well, and making space for self-care was a huge part of just being emotionally, intellectually, mentally, physically available for your child. So that was at the center of this of the work I do with the parents. And also, once I was really proud of the parents, because they got it, and they didn't need actually. They needed me just to facilitate this process, but afterward they came up with their own ideas, and I saw this child relax, and he was actually much more comfortable in his own skin. Yes. And actually became, he tended to be not very affectionate with his parents and just keeping them at a certain distance compared with his siblings. And suddenly this child opened up and was actually much more cuddly or just warm with his family, the other family members. And you could see that on his face. He was just much more relaxed in his body. It was a great transformation to observe.
It does sound to me like it was a great transformation, because from a child to have experienced rage at quite a high level, I suppose as a parent it's a hard thing to deal with, and then it can kind of you know, that modeled kind of that behavior could then come onto the parents, and then they internally may feel raged by the fact that they cannot so-called control. But
absolutely,
when you come away from that word control and you actually give the child the space to speak and to understand your child, and that's a process, because there are books on parenting. There's a brilliant book that I've got by Dr. Shefali called The Conscious Parent. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that book, and it talks about not only being a parent but also yourself, in terms of you looking at yourself as a person, mm-hmm. from a conscious level, and starting to kind of see that child within you and realizing, are you actually trying to control your child, or are you letting your child be? Because mm-hmm. sometimes parents do tend to put their own dreams and aspirations on the child and have certain expectations of their children, which their children may not be able to meet if their children, because their children are different, because we are all unique beings, aren't we? We are all unique people. And it's about understanding your child and understanding what your child's about, what your child loves. And it may be totally different from what you're about. And it's given them the freedom to do that. But I suppose for many people, that is a learning process. And it also is a hard process, especially if you've not been brought up that way. So I think it's great that you're doing the work that you're doing. I love the fact that you are working with children as well as their parents, because I always feel there's a foundation there that you have to build on. So you can work with the parents separately and the child separately, but at the end of the day there's polarities there, isn't there, that needs to be addressed, and there'll be certain modeled behavior that needs to be looked at. So the fact that you're going in them and you caught the gifted child, it's quite interesting, because as I said earlier, people don't understand that word gifted in the same way as you're doing it. So it'd be great to just be open about what you mean by gifted, so then you can attract the right kind of clientele for you, because I do feel that that's really, really, really quite interesting in terms of the research that you're doing. So do you do case studies as well, just to kind of round that off, Marion? Do you do case studies on your clients?
Yeah, I'm just going to, if I can just add something to what you just said about about this conscious parenting and just striving to see your child for the person he is and for not for the person you wished he were. I really strongly believe that children are an opportunity for self-growth, and actually they can be really a catalyzer. Is it correct to say that, to use this word, catalyzer for your own growth as a person, if you're willing to look at your child with honest eyes? And I think this is the trickiest part and the part that we've been missing up to now in education.
Yes.
And considering the state of the world, this is also one of my greatest belief that we really something needs to change in the way we raise our children, in the approach we have to education, because we are really needing some new solutions. And these kids will have these bubbling with life energy, and they're really bubbling with creativity and with sensitivity for all human forms, animals, people, nature. I really believe that they have inside of themselves the keys to facilitate this transition that we're seeing around us in the world. So it's how do we support that? Probably not with the old tools that we know the limits of, but with some personal and inner work on ourselves as adults or parents or educators, so that we can just be of service to these children. So yeah, that's one addition.
That's so true, and I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you, and I think that's the way to do it. But it's a process. I do believe it's a process, and
indeed
one that it's step by step, really. Even myself, you know, I never feel that you're always quite there. I feel that different situations allow you the space to reflect. But if you are open to that reflection, then that's the beginning of your self-growth and self-development.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not a comfortable place to be. So that's, but it has to start somewhere. And just to react on your question about case studies, I don't necessarily have case studies on the children and the parents I work with, but I have a blog, and I carry research on different topics. And one of the topics also I'm very interested in is giftedness and nurturing the fathers.
Yes.
Because this is a topic that's very close to my heart. How do we support fathers in their transition from a sort of a fear-based model to something that's to a model that's more healthy for them and just that's going to nurture their families as well? So this is one topic I really that makes my heart sing. Let's say it that way.
And that's interesting that you said fathers as well rather than mothers. I mean, I suppose it's the parents' fault, so you have to look at the mother and the father. But it's interesting you mentioned fathers, because there's a lot of talk, isn't there, really, around mental health these days and men having to behave a modelled way and having to appear to have all of this strength. But I'd just be interested to know from your perspective why you are so interested from the father's perspective. Could you explain from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of compassion for men, actually for my father as well, and because he's a central it's a central figure in my life, naturally.
Yes.
And I have observed, I'm naturally observer, and I'm really seeing how parents of men, actually, it's like a complex duo that we've been forming, this dance between men and women, women, isn't it? Just each of them in their own just arena, special arenas, and now we're seeing that, you know, it's not recent, but it's been for a while that women working and just men wanting to stay at home. And I feel it's something that touches me. So it's difficult to explain it rationally why I feel I resonate with the problematics of modern fathers. I'd say I feel it's...
Have you experienced that yourself? I suppose that's why I'm asking, because things don't come from nowhere. Sometimes we have an experience in it and it leads us to see something. So have you had an experience yourself where you've seen that? You talked about your own father. Or with regards to your own partner, where you felt there's a sensitivity there, is that right in saying so?
Yeah, it's correct. Actually, this And this is also something I observe in my coaching as a trend with the fathers, actually. There's a sort of inhibition in the household realm, which is typically more of a female domain, yeah. Let's put it that way. And so there is a lot of shame. But what I observe is that men have their own voice, and when they're just really given the space and they're supported by their partner and by the community, they really have this unusual just they're blending the qualities of the blending qualities in a marvelous way. And so this is something I really observe naturally, that men want to participate.
Yes.
And I recently I started a series of workshops here in Amsterdam for parents, and it's among the last group, there were two fathers, and there's one father was expressing how he wished he knew how to include more sensitivity in his parenting, and how he wished he knew how to express his feelings, because this is not something that we are taught. I think it's not only men. I think a lot of women also suffer about how do you express your emotions in a safe and in a way that's not hurting others nor yourself. So, but for men, I think there's stigma around. You've said it yourself, Tanya. It wasn't appropriate until. Yeah, it's still not very appropriate for a man just to be sensitive. And just to be strong, and most of the time it seems the two words didn't walk hand in hand, right? Strong, you are either strong or sensitive.
Yes.
But you're really seeing around there are really role models that have paved the way for such men, and
there is strength in that whole thing, in the whole thing of being sensitive. That's what I was wanting to say as yes. you were speaking there. There is strength in being sensitive. And yes. I think that finally people are waking up to that.
Yeah.
Because there's a yes. lot of, no, there isn't. And that's what I absolutely love myself. So people are waking up to there being strength in sensitivity and yeah. letting go of this facade as to what people perceive. And I use that word perceive on purpose. As to what people perceive is strength, mm-hmm. you know, because strength is not being aggressive. Strength yep. is an inner, you know, it's an inner feeling. Strength is that sensitivity. Strength is to stand up against something when you believe something is wrong and speak openly. And sometimes yep. you may have to speak about your own experience to support others. And that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, Real Stories, because I wanted to give people the space to speak openly. And with regards to what you do, it does work in terms of you are doing this work for children and parents, and it is based on your own experience, which I feel that people will really connect to. Now, Marion, I'm going to bring it to a close now just because of time, but I want to really thank you for coming on my show today.
My pleasure, Tanya.
I want to thank you for being very honest and open with me about your experiences. Mm-hmm. And continue to do all the amazing work that you're doing. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for your invitation, and thank you for providing this opportunity to speak openly about an essential topic, I find. So thank you for that.
Brilliant. Now, just a bit of a plug for you. Is there anything coming up that you are currently doing that you would like to advertise? If you just allow you to have that space now for a minute to just plug away.
Yes, I'm doing online workshops for parents around essential topics such as emotional management, rules and discipline, self-care, understanding what is giftedness. So I'm starting a series of these online workshops at the end of this month, September, and it's going to go on because there is a demand and a need for this type of services. And so I'd be happy for you to go onto our website or my Facebook page or my LinkedIn and just look at the upcoming dates and whether you're available to join the program.
So what is your Facebook page and LinkedIn? Is it Marion Frank?
Yes, it's the LinkedIn is Marion Frank. And on the Facebook page is the name of my business, which is Caring for the Gifted Child. And so you can find me easily on Facebook there and follow my work. I'd be glad about that.
And the blogs, what's the link for the blogs that you do?
So the blogs are, you can find them directly on my website. If you go on www.caringforthegiftedchild.com, there is a category called blog, and there you can find all the blogs that I've written on different topics, ranging from nurturing the gifted father to gifted women, which is also another topic, but for another time. So you can find the blogs here.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And I just want to say from Tali the Communication Doctor and this show, Real Stories, adios.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. To listen to more Real Stories, don't forget to subscribe.